Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Sustainable Singapore on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Well, you heard it in the news. Scientists have sounded the alarm as the world's oceans have hit record temperatures. Research published in the journal Advances in Atmospheric Science was based on observations from 24 scientists across 16 institutes worldwide. It found that in 2022, that was the hottest year ever recorded in the world's oceans. Heat content in the oceans exceeded the previous year's levels by around 10 zettajoules. That's equivalent to 100 times the electricity generation worldwide in 2021. Scientists have warned that climbing temperatures have wrought major changes to ocean stability faster than previously thought. And it's also found other indications suggesting that ocean health is deteriorating. Now, updated data released this week also showed that average global atmospheric temperatures across 2022 made it the fifth warmest year since record began in the 19th century. That's according to Europe's Copernicus Climate Change Service. And countries across the world, they have faced a cascade of unprecedented natural disasters made more likely and deadly by climate change. And we've been talking a lot on the show about how we can all play a part when it comes to tackling climate change. I'm very happy to share we're joined in the studio now by a real sustainability pioneer here in Singapore, Esther An, Chief Sustainability Officer at CDL. Esther, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to have you in the studio.
My pleasure.
So, Esther, we've got to ask you, you have been involved in sustainability really for decades. You're one of the first to introduce the sustainability report here in Singapore. So who else to give us an outlook on some of the key sustainability trends for 2023? What are your thoughts? What can we expect in the year ahead?
Well, definitely, thanks for the kind words. And I have been on walking this sustainability journey since 1995. And of course, at that time, nobody really cared about, you know, or talk about global warming and all that, you know, especially in this part of the world. But over the last few years, especially after, you know, when the pandemic broke out, and that made the change. In fact, the world has also awakened to the fact that the health of our planet, people, and business and economies are all interdependent and all interconnected. So you can't just, you know, have, you know, just focus on making money if you don't have healthy people and healthy planet. So that was also why sustainability become mainstream and not just on the global arena and also on the political, you know, nations and also industry and economy as well. So as we all know that many nations have already pledged for net zero since last COP 26 at Glasgow. And of course, now we have actually seen even our own country, Singapore, is very, very forthcoming to have pledged for net zero by 2050. And this is very important because, like what you have covered in the news, that, you know, extreme weather events have become more frequent and more severe. We all remember, you know, the burning summer in Europe and UK last year in 2022.
That's right.
And also drought, heat waves, floods everywhere.
Even closer to home here in Singapore, we had, what, record temperatures earlier this year?
Yes, it's actually, we all feel like, why is it so hot now? And but of course, for Singapore, it's also because of the, you know, urban heat island effect. We are a city-state. We're surrounded by water, but we're also highly urbanized. A lot of building, but at least we can celebrate that we have very high green coverage, a lot of greenery that have helped us actually lower the temperature, cool the environment. Otherwise, it will be even more unbearable. So I was also, you know, hearing about the ocean part
of it. Right.
And in fact, last year, there was a World Ocean Summit, you know, last November and December, I think. It was really putting focus on the health of ocean. After COP27 in Egypt, it was followed by the COP15, you know, in Canada, and the focus on ocean has never been stronger. And I think now people also understand that when you talk about climate action, you can't just focus on life on land. You also have to look at life below water, because the whole world is connected by ocean, a large global ocean. And whether in every part of the world, ocean play a key role. If I can borrow the wisdom of Dr. Sylvia Er, who's actually 88 years old, deep sea diver and marine scientist, and four words, she said, no water, no life, no blue, no green. Which is very, you know, succinct and very powerful, which is very true. That and that also connect man on land and life underwater.
And we all are, as you mentioned, extremely interdependent. Here in Singapore, we're an island nation. We are surrounded by water. You've spoken about the challenges, obviously, within the ocean. Now we've got to talk about the impact that that has when we're talking about our coastal defences. That has been a big focus of the government in terms of tackling climate change and looking forward for us here in Singapore. But also from CDL's perspective, you are safeguarding your buildings already. And I know that we recently caught up and you shared with me a really interesting project. Perhaps you can tell us more. And this is the South Beach Project.
Yes. Well, definitely, Singapore is an island state surrounded by water. And in fact, research showed that average number of rainy day is 167 days.
That my goodness.
Every other day you see rain, whether it's, you know, heavy rain or drizzle or whatever. So definitely, we flood is, and a storm water surge is actually a threat. But thanks to the very robust, you know, government policy practices and very, you know, far-sighted policies. And in 2019, actually, Prime Minister also announced that there is a coastal protection fund of $100 million in over the, you know, the until the end of the century. And we actually have been working with PUB as a developer, as a building owner. We have been working with the government agency to protect. You can't fight fire. You can't fight water when it comes to your doorstep. We actually have been working very closely, following not just compliance, but also we have to put on a lens that is like, what if, you know, the worst scenario happened. So for South Beach Project, which is along the beach row, it was actually, you know, open, you know, for about 6-7 years now. It is a very exciting project because it doesn't only have two tall buildings, very modern building. The whole site is huge and it actually comprises four conservation buildings, which was built in the early 1900s. And the problem is the land that these conservation buildings were built was reclaimed land comprising soft marine clay. So when we developed the whole site, we have to reinforce the foundation, the land, to allow us to build two tall buildings on the same site. One building is where JW Marriott is 34 story. The other office building is 40 story high. So all these require very strong planning and also very robust engineering work to make sure that the site is safe. And one thing is also, it is, you know, before the mandatory requirement of having the buildings about 4 meters above sea level, we already exceeded and built it at 4.5 meters above sea level. So that is very important. And since then, actually, we also, you know, work very closely with PUB to make sure we have very effective drainage system. Over and above, we also have a canopy that shield the site, 280 meter long canopy to shield the site from heavy rainfall. And over and above, we have rainwater harvest, channel the rain into the so-called storm water detention tanks, and that can help to store water in case of really heavy storm and rain. It can store the water there and slowly distribute to the drainage. By some time, slowly, safely, you know, release the waters to the drainage around. And we also, additionally, we have actually raised the entrances of all the main building about 4 meters above sea level. And because it's challenging, we also have a sunken plaza that links to a basement MRT station. So if we don't control and manage the water, the storm water runoff, you know, effectively, it will be flooding the whole site. We will have, like, you know, a lot of disruption. So far, touch wood, and since we opened, we did not have any, you know, flood problem. And thanks to all the preventive measure, and even for, like, basement, the lift, we have actually installed the so-called flood barrier. Once we hear the alert, we are connected SMS alert from PUB, you know, at 25, you know, 25, 50, 70 above sea level. We have already, like, okay, we have to get ready. Once you see the rain, we already all on alert already. And get ready in case the water run off, all the flood barrier will be up and ready to move.
Yeah. And that's fascinating. I mean, I've passed the building so many times, but I remember when we were sitting down and you were relaying this to me, you know, I will never look at that building in the same way again. The amount of thought that's gone into, you just expect that, okay, a few conservation buildings are there. They've built around it, but there's so much more that goes into it, isn't there? And there's, you know, when it comes to climate change and future-proofing and planning, so there are so many different elements at play. Now, I want to move away from what's happening at South Beach now, because I'm mindful of time. And we've just got so much to talk to you about today, Esther. I want to talk to you about your upcoming trip. You're going on a trip to Antarctica on a climate expedition. What are you going to do? What do you hope to achieve? What's happening?
In fact, you know, as a developer, you know, CDL is, we build home. Our activities is above land. But in 2016, I met Dr. Sylvia Err and also, you know, Michael Au, who's actually the founder of Ocean Geographic. They converted me. They said that, hey, Esther, you can't just look at men on land, life on land. 80% of the waste in the sea is contributed by you guys on land. So I said, oh, yes, definitely. You know, we know that we have a responsibility. But the more I'm into this subject, the more we learn that ocean is actually one of the most powerful heat and carbon sink. It absorbs carbon, it absorbs heat. And we all love seafood, right? It is also a very important food, you know, a source as well. And I think definitely rising sea level is a threat, not just to humanity, not just to businesses, but it's also, you know, investment and, you know, business threats. So that's why, therefore, like, you know, businesses are all looking at Net Zero Alliance, whether it is investors, whether it is banking alliance and insurance agents and all that. Everyone is looking at how to decarbonize and how to make our world safer. And we always think that we are in the, you know, near equator. Whatever happened in the North Pole or South Pole has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
But increasingly, we all know that rising, you know, temperature will, you know, fast melting the glacier and the ice cap in the polar region. And in the end of the day, the melted ice become rising sea level. That is a threat to everyone in the world, whether you are near the equator or any part of the world. And in fact, over the last couple of years, all this extreme weather affected actually more than 85% of population in the world. Everyone can't run away. So that's why we have this, we call it the Antarctica climate expedition, which is led by Dr. Sylvia Err and Ocean Geographic. We are not there just for relax and holiday. We are there, actually, they invited 110 so-called climate champions in different parts of the world. And we already have pre-expedition many meetings already over the past few months, and prepare a framework for us to discuss. And the end deliverable is 23 resolutions on how human can actually help to conserve the ocean and also fight climate change. And I think this is going to be very exciting. We are going to hear from different parts of the world, whether they are US, UK, Europe, and Asia, and, you know, China, Hong Kong, and all. So I'm very excited about this, and definitely looking forward to it. We are setting sail around on 12th February, going to be there about 10 days, and we will come back with 23 resolutions and also a time capsule from all these so-called champions, writing a letter to their future generation, and what do we hope to see by the end of this century what would the planet be? And hopefully when they opened the time capsule, they will remember what we have done and what we have wished for. It is going to be installed or buried in at our CDL Green Gallery at the Singapore Botanic Gardens. Okay. It is very apt because Botanic Garden is the only UNESCO heritage site, and hopefully, many decades later, people will see how this group of people went to this expedition and hope for the best for our future generation. And hopefully when they, open this time capsule, the world will become cleaner, better, and safer and more sustainable for our generations to come.
Cleaner and greener. I hope so too. Now, very quickly, just to wrap up, Esther, you mentioned earlier that you were at COP27 in Egypt last year. COP28 is coming up this year in Dubai. I want to get some of your key takeaways from COP27. This was the first year we had a Singapore pavilion. And what do you hope that we can kind of build on as we look at the year ahead?
In fact, I also attended COP25, but at that time, honestly, it has happened. It has, it was over, but nobody really talked too much about it. And after, 1 year break due to COVID, Glasgow, COP27, it really rang the alarm that, we are not calling it climate change anymore. It's called climate emergency. Mm-hmm. There is a sense of urgency. And that was the year all these financial players play a major role to drive net zero. The so-called global race to zero now has already secured support from cities, businesses, and all that, accounting for about over 90% of global GDP. So this is really a powerful force for change. And in Egypt, it was positioned as an implementation COP. That means we need to close the gap from saying, and bring it to action. And I wouldn't want to judge that whether it is successful or not. It is a very controversial and different people have different opinion. But from my own observation, I really see a lot of action. And I was really impressed by the very first Singapore Pavilion. And MAS is behind it. It was led by our PM office. And really, everybody is really pushing the agenda, showcasing that Singapore means business. Singapore is serious about our net zero pledge. And we brought together established company, large cap, and also startup and different parts of different sector as well, whether it is building sector, transport, energy, and technology, fintech, and all that, all come together and talk about climate action. It's important for us to keep the conversation alive, keep the hope for 1.5 degree alive, because without awareness, without, pushing hard, and nothing will happen. And there are also some scientists that feel that, hey, Esther, it's not possible for 1.5 degree, we are all looking at 2.8. But my view is, so are we going to do nothing? If you don't do anything, it may be worse than 2.8. So if we can do something, I still remain very positive with technology, with, creativity, with collective action globally. I'm sure there are solutions that will help us, to overcome it. And hopefully, I still have hope that, to keep it, global warming below 1.5 degree.
Okay, well, Esther, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you. We've been joined in the studio by Esther An, Chief Sustainability Officer at CDL. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.